All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, we're looking in the book of Mark, chapter number 4. We've been preaching a series of messages entitled Treasures from the Book of Mark. And tonight we're down in Mark, chapter number 4, and we're looking in the 26th verse this evening. Mark, chapter 4, and verse number 26. The Bible says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the fullness in the ear," or the full corn in the ear. "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." We want to preach tonight on the power of a seed. The power of a seed. The seed is one of the most amazing phenomenons in all the kingdom of God. It is just very small. You can put one in your hand and sometimes you can barely see them. I took an apple earlier today and chopped up an apple pretty good and partook of that apple. And then I was trying to dig those seeds out of there, and some of the seeds were small enough to see, but yet some of them were so small it was even hard to see in your hand, and I couldn't even get a weight on them. They were so flyweight. They had no weight to them whatsoever, but yet that little tiny seed can produce the tallest of trees and the largest of plants. It is incredible the power that is in a seed. In fact, I went ahead and when I dug some of these out, I dug out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of another apple because I had to get another one later on in the day. 7, these were a little bigger, different type of apple. The other one I had was only had 8 seeds in it. This one had 7. Now what about that? Apple doesn't just have one seed in it. This one had 7, another one had 8. There's enough right there for a whole grove of apple trees. Say amen. Out of one little apple. And how many apples will come on that individual tree? There'll be hundreds of apples that will form just in 1 year. How about in 20 years and 30 years as the apple tree produces fruit every year? Praise God for the power of a seed, amen? Now, when I look at this and I think about this little seed, it looks completely dead. It looks like there's nothing to it. But it's got more power within its nucleus of this seed, amen, than you and I can imagine. And yet, Jesus chose those little seeds as a metaphor of the kingdom of God. How much greater is the seed of the Word of God than these apple seeds that I have in my hand right now? You've preached there in metaphors. What's a metaphor? The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. You see that? And it is a light unto my path. Amen. The Bible tells us that he is a fire shut up in my bones. Amen. Now, those are metaphors. The Word of God is a sharp, two-edged sword tonight. Amen. Praise God, able to pierce. So Jesus chose the image of a seed to portray, represent, to symbolize the power of the seed of the Word of God. Now, this is what you have right now in your hand. Everybody have a Bible? Lift your Bible up. Let the devil see it, amen? The Bible is a living book. Every other book is dead, but the Bible is a living book. Preacher, show me its breathing. Show me its heartbeat. The Bible says Jesus' words in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So there is life-giving ability in the Word of God. Just as much as these little seeds, once you plant them, amen, and they have power to produce life, only the Word of God has the ability to impart, to transform, to save lives, amen. Praise God. This apple tree, when I planted it may live 50, 100 years, amen, or even more than that. But the Word of God, the seed is eternal seed. Amen. When you sow wheat, you expect to get wheat. When you sow corn, you expect to get corn. When you sow apples, you expect to get apples. when you sow the word of God, hear me, it's an eternal seed and the fruit is eternal. Amen. Praise God right there now. Now, there are five, maybe six things, if I can get there, that I want us to see tonight. Number one, in these verses, in verse 26, I want us to see the sower. These will all start with the letter S. The sower. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. We could go back to Matthew 13, verse 37. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has commanded us to go forward teaching and preaching the gospel to the ends of the world. Our job is to sow the seed of the word of God. Amen. Just as Jesus was the original sower. Can you just see? I can remember my daddy going out and showing us about how to sow, right? Or maybe you're sowing grass or whatever. And he'd take the field and plow it up, and then he'd take that old canvas bag or a leather bag that he had around his waist, and he'd reach his hand in there and get a handful of seeds, and he'd begin to scatter them and begin to distribute them. The word, the proper word, they tell me of studying this, is the word broadcast. You know what we're doing back here with the internet right now? We're broadcasting, amen? We're sowing the seed of the word of God to the ends of the earth, if, amen, as long as the Spirit will blow it and take it there, amen? So that is our job, is to take a handful of the seed of the word of God and distribute it, to broadcast it generously wherever that it will go. That is our job. And that's the only thing we're supposed to do. Preacher Darren, what is your job? Preacher, you ought to be doing this and this and this and this. You know what our job is? It's to sow seed. Our job is to shine the light. That is our job, amen. So tonight, we see that the soil of this earth, you know what it produces? Weeds. Naturally. Wheat just doesn't automatically come up on its own. The seed has got to be sown. The word of God must be sown. For the farmer to have a harvest, he must sow the seed, amen. Now, I'll tell you about my daddy and my Uncle Don. Y'all can fund them if you want to. Grandma had been saving seed, and she had it all in one big old sack, and Grandpa had tilled and plowed and cultivated like 40 acres for them boys to go out and sow bean seed in. And that's how much bean seed she had dried out to get ready for the next season. They'd probably had loved to have eaten it in the fall, but she said, we're going to set that to the side so we'll have some seed to sow next spring. And them boys said, yes, Mama, we'll go out and sow. And they was gone all day long. What they did was they dug one big hole and they dumped all the seed in one big hole and covered it back over and went out in the woods and played all day. And when they came all, and listen, they was on a 100-acre farm, so Grandma and Grandpa couldn't always see everything they was doing. And when they came back, Grandma said, did you boys sow all that seed? Oh, we sowed it all. And they did in one hole. Grandma never knew the difference for a few weeks until something interesting happens. Those seeds in the ground began to germinate, and they all came to life, and we basically have Jack and the Beanstalk, amen, growing out of one hole and nothing else anywhere else. Needless to say, them boys kind of got in a little bit of trouble, and they was late with the bean planting that year, amen. Because I promise you this, God has a law of sowing. What you sow, it will come up. And you will reap what you sow, and you will reap more than you sow. Go ask my daddy. He got more than he sowed. Amen. Our job's to sow the seed. Number one, we see the sower. Number two, again in verse 26, we see the seed. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. Let's talk about the seed. Now, nothing else is going to produce eternal crops except the right kind of seed. You want to sow the word of God, you'll have a good harvest. But if you decide you're going to sow wild oats and you're going to sow all this other stuff, honey, you can expect all that other stuff's going to come up right in the pews of your church, right in the, if I can say it, the rows of the church. is where the fruit is going to come up. So you better be making sure that you're teaching and preaching the Word of God. There's only one seed, one, that God will use to convert the soul. And it is the seed of the Word of God. Now, hold your place here. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, turn there with me. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. I want to look in the 23rd verse. 1 Peter 1, 23, as we're talking tonight about seed. The seed of the Word of God contains life. The Bible says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. You see, these apple seeds here, as wonderful as they could be, as delicious as they are, it's corruptible seed. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth, I told you it's alive, and abideth forever. The seed of the Word of God was preached and declared boldly the night the Holy Ghost used it, knocked on my heart's door, plowed furrows through my soul, brought me under conviction of sin, and the Word of God found a fertile lodging spot, and I got saved that night, and the Word of God took root in my life, and it's growing and maturing in my life even now. Say amen. They made a discovery in an ancient pyramid. Amongst that discovery was these ancient seeds. They didn't know what they were, so they sowed them, not expecting them being 1,000 years old or more, not expecting them to come up. They did. Seed that had been laying there in a pyramid, being covered in dust for thousands of years, the minute it was sowed, God breathed on it, amen, and God gave it life thousands of years. Honey, the Word of God has been around for a spell, and it's still changing lives tonight. It will make an eternal difference, amen. When you sow the Word of God, it's still reaching the lives, the hearts, the souls of men. Sow the seed of the Word of God, Bethel. You'll never be sorry, amen. So we see the sower, and number two, we see the seed. Number three, in verse 26 of Mark 4, we see a third point that starts with the letter S. He says the sower, he's casting the seed into the ground. That speaks of the soil. He's mentioned this earlier in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. See that? That's the seed, the Word of God. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You see, the soil is the hearts of men and women. And there are four types of soil that we learned about. There was one type of soil that was the seed that fell by the wayside. It was compacted. It was hardened. The seed hit it and just bounced right off of it. That's a type of soil. I preach every Sunday night, Wednesday night. I guarantee you I'm preaching the four types of soil. Probably here tonight, maybe someone listening, maybe somebody here, you're distracted with what's going on in the other buildings. You're distracted with what happened earlier today. You're distracted with what needs to take place tomorrow. You're distracted about, well, when the church gets out, I've got to go fill up my gas tank. Maybe you're at home right now and you're distracted by Jeopardy or by the Wheel of Fortune. I cut that mess off and stay with the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, the soil that's compacted and hardened, the seed of the Word of God hits it and it bounces right off. Now, am I the only one here that would say there's been times in my life, saved, born again, and I've sat in a service, and the preacher preaching, man, what a message, but I wasn't ready to receive it, and it bounced right off my life. You ever been there? There's another kind of soul, okay? He says in verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they've heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in themselves. And so after endure before a time, afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, verse 17, immediately they are offended. What does that mean? It's a crippled soil. It's preaching there, and the word of God went in evidently, and they got some benefit of it, but it was stony ground. In other words, it was just a thin layer of soil there. And when the root tried to take place, as it germinated and began to sprout, the root had no place to go. It was on the rocks. And as soon as persecution came, or as soon as there was a trial, I've seen this over and over, or a hardship in somebody's life, woof, they're gone. You can't find them no more because somebody hurt their feelings. And listen, we ought not to be so easily offended, amen. We're to be growing in the Word of God, and that's crippled soil because it's stony ground, amen. Some of us, have you ever been there? I've been there, been in a service or many services where I've sat there and eager to receive the Word of God, but something in the service distracted me, pulled me away from what I needed. I'm telling you, when we're here, the atmosphere at the house of God needs to be welcoming, worshipful. You with me? It's easy for us to lose our focus, and we get a little, and it cripples our ability to take in the seed of the Word of God. Now, there's another type of soil. That's the second one. Look with me in verse 18. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Again, the cares of this world. Got to fill the gas tank up. Got to make sure that such and such is going to happen. Got to get ready for school. Got to get ready for the job. I got to go home, wash clothes. And all those cares of the world, I know it's important to get those things done, but it takes away our ability to soak in the Word of God and receive the seed of the Word. So they all start with the seed. We've got compacted. We've got crippled. We've got that which is crowded by thorns. And then in verse 20, he mentions these are they which are sown on good ground. That's choice soil. They hear the word. They receive it. They bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Three different divisions right there, which speaks of our growth and our maturity. I don't have time to get into that. But it's interesting that there's three stages that he points out right there. So there is the soil of the heart that we must condition ourselves, cultivate by the Spirit of God to prepare us to receive the Word. Oftentimes when I'm coming to church, I'm like, Lord, prepare me to receive your Spirit, to receive what you have for me today. Let me see and understand what you have for me. Rather than just, man, I got to get in, I got to make this. Listen, think about it. Think about my life. I got to make this announcement. I can't disappoint this person. I got to dedicate this man. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. We got to make sure that so-and-so gets their time to sing. We got to shake somebody's hands. Here's visitors. Got to make sure you get them welcome. You understand how easily your preacher can get distracted away from the message that God's given him to preach because he's trying to take care of the individual needs of smiling and welcoming people, inviting them back. And that's not the main reason we're here. We're here to preach the word and receive the word of God. You understand that? And it's easy. So I say, Lord, help me prepare. Don't let me get distracted by the things that I need to do today. And listen, oftentimes you say, well, you didn't. How come you forgot? You know why I forgot? I'm dizzy and I'm busy. So I've got a lot of things going on. Okay, so there's the soil of our hearts. And we need to make sure that our soil is not compacted. It's not crippled, that it's not being crushed or crowded. That is choice soil. That's what we got to make sure. Number four, this is interesting to me. I love this point right here. I love it. Look with me in verse 27. So here's this sower. He's went out, the farmer has went out to cast seed into the ground. It's went into the soil. My fourth point is sleep. Look with me. And should sleep and rise night and day. Let's just stop right there. After sowing the seed, what does the sower do? Does he make phone calls? Does he send texts? Does he send out instant direct messages? Does he get on Facebook and make posts about it? So, hey, look at the message. You know what the sower did? He went to sleep. Oh, preacher, that's lazy. Jesus is not saying he's lazy. He didn't rebuke him. He's encouraging the rest. When you've sowed the seed, studies will tell you that you preach one time a 30-minute message, give it everything you've got, it's like working an 8-hour day. Try to preach twice or three times. See how you feel on Monday after you're discouraged on top of that. Now think about it with me for just a second here. He said, you're to go home and sleep. Sow the seed, sleep, rest, trust God for results. What can a farmer do to manufacture, to synthesize, to produce, to enhance the stimulation and the germination of the seed? Does he sing to it? Does he shine a heat lamp on it? What does the farmer do to help, to enhance the seed to take root? Sleep. You know what I'm going to go home and do tonight, Lord willing? Sleep. Now, Brother Bob, I'm going to tell you something. There's been a many a time I've got in this pulpit and preached what God has told me to preach, no less than get out of this pulpit, walk to the back, or stand here and get out to my car, and the devil attacking. Well, you've wasted your time. You've bombed. You've messed up. And my wife probably lied to me many a time, said, oh, it was just wonderful. Amen. And I've wrestled with sowing the seed. I've wrestled with shining light. You know what the Lord told me I should do? Go home and sleep. I told you to preach. I told you to sow seeds. You can't do anything to enhance it. You can't do anything to manufacture its growth. Get in the car, go home, and go to sleep. He said, preacher, now that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. These are Jesus' words about the farmer who's gone forward to sow the seed. There is nothing more for we as a church to do than to lay our head down and trust God for the results. Amen? No farmer can make the seed grow. No disciple can make the seed grow. Parents, hear me. You cannot cause the seed to grow in the hearts of your children. At the end of the day, you've got to turn it over to God. That's the only thing you can do. There was a young man. He came to a farm and he applied for a job as a farmhand working on the farm. And he said, well, son, tell me your qualifications. You're just a young man, not a lot of experience, I suppose. And the young man said, well, I can sleep when the wind blows. And he said, what? That's the weirdest qualification I ever heard of, but he kind of liked the young boy. He presented himself well. He said, I'm going to hire you because I like you. I feel good about it. And a few weeks later, there come a violent storm at night. Wind a-blowing, lightning a-striking, thunder a-crashing. And the farmer woke up and his wife. He said, oh, man, we better go and check on things. And he ran outside and the tractor was in the barn. And while he was there, he checked and all the animals were in their stalls. And he went to see where all the farm tools was, and they were all put up and stored where they should be. He looked over there by the fireplace because it was cold outside, and all the logs were stacked up by the fireplace. And he looked in the room where the young man was, and he was laying there sound asleep. Then he realized what he'd said. I can sleep when the wind blows. And he realized what he meant. That if you do, I'm going to get tore up. If I'll do what God told me to do, the best of my ability at the end of the day, when the wind blows, I can lay down to sleep. Because I've done all I can do. I hope you'll remember that. Amen. Our job here at this church is to do what we can do. We're to sow our seeds that God's given us into the hearts and the lives of men, and we're to go home and lay down and trust God for the results. I don't go through the congregation and twist people's arms. I don't go get them and beg them and pull them to the altar. We sow the seed, go to sleep. I contribute nothing. It's not going to take one more verse of just as I am. The word is sufficient. The word is sufficient. I need amen. The word is sufficient to get the job done. We're not to go home and worry about it. How many times have I gone home and said, I probably offended half my congregation with what was said tonight? How many churches do you know that's trying to do a rain dance around the seeds, the few seeds that they've sown? They're trying to manufacture and get all this buildup to make it happen. Well, preacher, then I think rather than having one of them old leather seed bags, what you need to go get is a designer seed bag. One of them ones that's got a fancy name on it from France somewhere. And if you'll sow from that seed bag, it'll be better results. Honey, we don't need to change the seed bag. We don't need to change the seed that we're sowing. We don't need to do a rain dance around it, amen. We don't need to worry, amen. Well, I just worried about the style. I don't think the preacher ought to wear a tie. I think you ought to get up there with the blue jeans on and a sports shirt. Let me tell you something. It's not the style that makes the seed come up either. My necktie, my suit don't help one thing. It may be more pleasing to you, but it doesn't make one iota's difference. I do believe that I ought to wear my best. I do believe that a policeman wears a uniform. I do believe that a fireman has to wear a uniform. I feel like the man of God ought to be ready to present himself, but that's my conviction for me, amen. And that's what I'm going to do. But listen, whether I wear a suit or whether I don't, does not make the corn grow. Amen? Style doesn't have anything to do with it. Preacher, dear, now, you lost me right there. I'm just telling you, you need to pray and go home and go to sleep. Trust the Lord to do his work with his seed. Amen? So our fourth point is sleep. Our fifth one, sprouting. He says he's to sleep and rise night and day. I don't think it's just one day. I think it's a series of days. I think it's a series of weeks. He's going to bed trusting, 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 trusting. And look what happens. And the seed should spring and grow up. What's that? The farmer examines the soil, and what he sees is the seed is beginning to sprout. And that's always so encouraging. When you see them little heads coming up out of the ground, when you start seeing them little heads getting saved, amen, you start seeing them people come back to church, that's encouraging to the farmer to say, hey, you know why we sowed? In hopes of a harvest. And when you see them plants, them tender plants coming in, you know what he does? He goes, listen, he can't make them grow, but he keeps them, I'm going to need amen right here. He keeps them old dirt clods off of them tender plants. My daddy, when I was a little boy, I'd be barefooted. He'd be out plowing, tilling in the garden there. My job was when he run through the middle of the road, you know how you plow, run through the road, them big old dirt clods would roll over on them tender plants that's just starting to peep up out of the ground. And my job was to go over there and roll them back out there, back out in the middle of the highway so daddy could come back with the plow the other way and bust them up. One time I was there kicking and one of them had a rock in it. Son, I got a big old stone bruise right there on the ball of my foot. And it hurt. I mean, it was filled with blood on the inside. I was sitting over there on the side, and Daddy stopped with the plow. He said, son, what are you doing? I said, Daddy, I've kicked one of these dirt clods, and I've got a stone bruise, and it hurts so bad. He said, son, the soil is soft. If you don't get back to kicking them out there, we're going to lose the whole crop. Get back out there and keep on kicking. And I thought, Lord, I don't know if I can do it. I walked over there, and I got in that soft soil, and the next thing I knew, it didn't even hurt. And just in a little bit, Daddy did some bloodletting, and things was right well within a week or two. I went up here one time to the Tri-County Tabernacle, and the preacher was preaching on plowing, planting, and plucking. That was his series all week. First day, man, I've been having trouble. I've had people rising up and going every which way and telling tales, and I was so disgusted. I didn't want to be there. You talk about distracted. He come right down where I was. Where's my handkerchief? He come right down where I was. He looked over at me. I was sitting on this side. He went over there to me, and he said, the preacher's from Alabama. He didn't even know. He said, son, I'm telling you, God told me to tell you, don't you be tender-footed. You keep kicking them old clods back out in the middle of the row, and you plow and plow and plow them until they bust up and get tender. Hey, man! And I remembered all the way back to my youth about what my daddy had said, and I knew that my heavenly Father had told me, don't you get your feelings hurt by what's being said or not said about you. Your job is to sow the seed and go to sleep. You keep kicking the clots off the tender plants, or we're going to lose the whole crop. Y'all okay with that statement? I'm telling you, it helped me, amen. I'm telling you, well, preacher, listen, all of us get hard-hearted sometimes, and we need to be plowed up and plowed up and plowed up until we finally get softer in our heart, amen. Listen, his discovery and his delight, God was working while he was asleep. And God caused tender plants to come up. Praise God for it. Now the farmer's trying to figure out. It was the rain dance. It was that designer bag. It was that new style I started preaching with. That's what everybody liked. I took my towel off. That's what got the job done. Look what the end of the verse says. He knoweth not how. How'd they get anything out of my preaching? Amen. How'd they get it? Lord of God, that's helping me right now. All the farmer did was sow the seed and trust God. And I wrote this in my notes. I cannot explain to you why, how, or when. I just know he does it. What one rejects, another receives. It is incredible, amen. I can't predict it. Results. You try to measure me by results, but you're looking at the wrong fella. Results are not up to me. Results are up to God. Results are not up to you. Results are up to God. Oh, Preacher Aaron, I disagree with you there. You got your Bible. 1 Corinthians. Let's look at the seed for a second. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want to look at verse number 6 in this wonderful chapter. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 6. I have planted. You see, Paul's our writer. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Amen. It's not about who the preacher is or is not. It's about God giving the increase. It's God that deserves the glory. It's God that deserves the credit, amen. He is worthy. The Spirit's continuing, go back to our text. The Spirit's continuing to work on the seed, and it's growing. It's coming up out of the ground. It's an inch tall. It's 2 inches tall. It's 6 inches tall. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. What can the farmer do to make the corn have not 2 ears of corn, but 3? It's God that does that, amen. What can the farmer do when he sows the wheat and the stalk comes up? And on the end of the stalk, 3 heads of wheat. What can he do? And look at all them little grains inside the head of the wheat. And all he did was sow one seed. And he got a whole family here and a whole family there and a whole. Lord of God, it's God that gives the increase. It's God that ought to get the glory in Bethel Baptist Church. Amen. Now, again, notice with me, we read at the end of verse 20, there are 3 stages. Here are 3 stages once again. It's talking about spiritual progression. I don't have time to preach all this, but here's the thing. The seed has extraordinary power, and the Spirit of God is what's blessing and causing it to grow. Hallelujah. Now, not just the sprouting, but then last of all, the sickle. Verse number 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. Now, it may take some time, farmer, but the farmer is promised. me use this word. He's guaranteed, starts with a G. He's guaranteed a harvest. Son, you keep preaching. God's guaranteeing you a harvest if you'll keep preaching the word of God faithfully. My granddaddy and my great-granddaddy, hundreds and hundreds of acres of land that they always farmed. And when they sowed seed, God guaranteed them a harvest. They never went hungry. Oh, there were years that some of the seed looked like it was going to freeze to death and the wind blew. I'm telling you, God took care of them. The son, you are, Bethel, you're guaranteed a harvest. God has a law of sowing and reaping. Though the farmer has nothing to do with growing the crop, the farmer has nothing to do with maturing the crop. I know I can pull some weeds. I know I can run the gospel plow, but it's all up to God. It's the Spirit of God that's in control. The farmer can fertilize, he can till, he can work, but it's the Spirit of God. That's all he can do. And now these tender plants, it's time for a harvest. Here's another word, starts with a G. Not just a guarantee, but there's going to be a gathering. Amen. Amen. Woo! There's going to be a separation from this life and a harvest that's going to take us to the life to come. Amen. Preacher Darren, when's that going to be? When the farmer sees that it's time to harvest his field. Amen. Right now, he makes, well, Preacher Darren, while I'm getting to be 89 years old, it's time to be, listen, you might get harvested at 30. Amen. That's up to the farmer. Whatever he wants to do, the harvesting, amen. But I'm just telling you, when the crop is mature, when it's ripe, that is when the farmer says, I need amen right here. I'm removing you off the field. I'm taking you from the field, and I'm putting you in the barn as a trophy of grace, amen. Look what you were. You were less than a speck of dirt. You were just nothing, and I lifted you, amen, and I grew you, and I redeemed you, and look what I've done in your life, and now I'm taking you home. Well, hallelujah to God, amen. Woo! The power of a seed. So, I got illustration, but I'm going to stop. You know what my job is to do tonight? It's to sow the seed of the word of God in the field. Some people get discouraged because the harvest is not coming yet. Okay. It's come to my mind. I feel like the Lord wants me to say this. There's a time back in the yesteryear when it ought to still be good today, wish it was, that in the community, the church had revival twice a day. They had a service in the morning at 10, and they had revival again in the afternoon at 5 or 6 o'clock. And they'd have it for 2 weeks at a time. And the farmers would put all their mules and their horses and everything, just put them out to the field and let them just do what they need to do. They didn't worry one thing, not one thing, about the crop for 2 weeks, two services a day. They didn't go home after the service on a Monday or a Tuesday and get back at the grandpa didn't. He said, I'm just going to trust God, and I'm going to focus on praying for the preacher and praying for the meeting that God have his way. And the whole community is like that, except one guy was an atheist. He kept working, and he kept working. Worked all the way through the revival meeting. He worked on every Sunday, had no respect for the things of God whatsoever. At the end of the year, he had the biggest farm and the biggest harvest of anybody. He even wrote a letter to the paper to brag on himself and to shun and put down all the Christians that they were trusting God and with his hard work looked at all he had produced. And he got pictures and an edit letter to the editor, and they put it in the paper. But the editor returned the favor and said, sometimes we need to remember that the harvest doesn't always come when we think it does. Sometimes we count our chickens before they hatched. Amen? Sometimes, amen, we've not seen the big picture, amen. We think the harvest is going to go from maybe March or April all the way out to September, and then the harvest is September and October. And I'm telling you, the harvest may be in years to come. And that man ended up living and dying a horrible, horrible death. And not he's in hell. You see, because the harvest don't always come when we think it does. God's not always grading in October and in September. Are you with me? So this is what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to finish the sermon. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to get in that little car over there, Lord willing, I'm going to pick up my wife. Oh, we're going to go to the house. And I'm going to pray before I go to bed. And I'm going to sleep. And I'm going to trust that God has spoken to hearts and is going to take this that we're trying to sow all across the land. And it may be somebody would share it and somebody would get encouraged with it. And maybe somebody would get saved. I'm just going to trust God with the gospel. Amen. There's not one more thing I can do. Father, tonight I bow my head before you. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the word of God. I'm thankful for the precious seed. God, I don't want to mishandle it. I don't want to misquote it. I don't want to misrepresent it. God, tonight I just want to sow it. And God, I want to sow it on choice soil. But Father, that's up to individual hearts and lives. They determine how they receive the word of God. Father, would you help us at Bethel? God, to learn to sow the seed, no matter where it falls, no matter if it upsets, if it gets rejected, or if it's well received. God, you're helping me. Just to trust you for the results. Lord, we're aging before our time because we're worrying and we're striving. We've got debt over our head. We've got responsibilities, Father, which are more than we can carry. And Father, I can't do one thing about any of it. Everything that you have given into my hand, I can do nothing about but bow and say, thank you, and just sow it. So tonight, God, I sow, and I pray, and I serve you. And Lord, if it's pleasing to you, you'd help us to rest and to trust with results in your hand. And with this I pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You stand to your feet tonight. Amen. I've skipped probably half my sermon. Ed Kimball. Many of y'all heard of Ed Kimball. Ed Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. And man, he loved the people that came to his class. And a young man started coming to his class that didn't know him well. And he thought, you know, I want to find out something about the boy. And they told him that the boy worked at the shoe store. And he went into the shoe store, but he couldn't find him. He asked the people up front, said, I'm looking for a young man. He comes to my Sunday school class. I'd just like to talk to him. I'd like to pray with him. And they said, well, I think he walked through the door, but you're just welcome to go right back there where the employees are. Just go right back there. And Ed Kimball, the Sunday school teacher, went right back there. And the young man was just standing there. And he put his hand on his shoulder. And he said, son, God sent me down here to talk with you and to pray with you. You started to come to my class and you got an interest in the word of God. I don't know if you understand, but I want to pray. He prayed with him and witnessed to him. And D.L. Moody got saved that very day. And that one seed that Ed Kimball sowed reached D.L. Moody. It reached all. I probably wrote this down somewhere. Listen to this. I want to get it in right order. F.B. Meyer, F.B. Meyer, Wilbur Chapman, Billy Sunday, Mordecai Ham, Billy Graham. Just one seed, one Sunday school teacher. You don't think tonight that your job is that huge and that important, but one Sunday school teacher reached through generations and touched Billy Graham's life. One seed. That's all you need to do is sow the seed. The missionary came home, felt so defeated, not doing well, his health was shot, he'd spent his life not seeing great things happen. But he stood before a church and he was sharing his heart and his burden. There was a young boy up working in the balcony of the church when he was testifying. And that boy, laying on his face, working a bit with the pipe organ, laying on his face, heard him preach and got saved and surrendered that day to preach the gospel. And God called David Livingstone to leave and go to Africa and won millions of people. Because one preacher sowed the seed to a young boy he couldn't even see, laying on his face, working on a pipe organ in the church. You just never know. But we just got to trust God with results.